One of the things which First Baptist Church does, which I really appreciate, is that it follows the Christian year and the lectionary readings for each Sunday in the Christian year. Now, up to this point, the sermons during the Sundays that I've been here have not been based on the lectionary readings for the Sundays of the Christian year. I'm sure you've all noticed that. No one's mentioned it to me, but I'm sure you've all noticed it. Anyway, that will change as of today, because from here on in, my sermons will be based on one of the lectionary readings for each Sunday. In the most of the cases, they will be based on the gospel readings for this cycle in the lectionary, which are from the Gospel of Luke. And it's a marvelous gospel, and I look forward to sharing in those with you. I don't know if table manners are important these days as they used to be. I know they were important in the home in which I grew up, especially to my father. My father was always getting after my brother and me about our table manners. You'll have to judge how successful he was about that, but they were very important to my father. One of the things that makes me wonder whether table manners are very important these days is because I'm told that families don't eat together as much as they used to. Everybody's coming and going at all different times, and families rarely sit down together at the table as a family. A couple of years ago, I think it was Oprah Winfrey on her television show had an experiment. She asked about six families to experiment for a month in which they would agree that once a day, they would all be home for a meal and share it together around the table without the television being on. And at the end of the month, she had to come back and share their experiences. Some thought it was wonderful. They never talked to each other like this before. Other families thought it was terrible. They couldn't think of anything to say to one another. Well, despite the fact that lifestyles change, table manners are still important. I read not too long ago where businesses are now sending their employees off to mismanaged schools of etiquette so they can learn how to behave properly when they go out on business lunches or business dinners. Manners apparently mattered to Jesus. And here in our scripture this morning from the Gospel of Luke is his meditation on table manners, or how you are to behave at the next church potluck supper. The setting is the home of one of the leaders of the Pharisees, and Jesus notes how it is that the guests vie with one another for the best seats. Now, the Middle Eastern society in which Jesus lived was a very hierarchical society. Position was very, very important. Everyone's ambition, of course, was to climb higher, or at the very least, to maintain your place in the pecking order. Now, we don't like to think of ourselves as a hierarchical society, but still, even in our society, there is an irresistible temptation to move up the ladder and to be the first one in line. Why is it that everybody at a buffet dinner wants to be at the table that goes through the buffet line first? Do you notice that? Or the drivers who speed down the shoulder of the highway to try to cut in line. I hate that, but we see it. So then Jesus tells a parable, and he makes a very practical observation. Know your place and wait to be invited to a better position. Don't run the risk of pushing ahead to try to get up to the seats of honor, he says, and then being humiliated in front of everybody by being told you have to move and sit some lower position. And you will be embarrassed in front of everybody, and there's no gain in that. The better strategy, he says, is to start low. And then wait to be invited to a better place. So, at the next church potluck supper, instead of looking for the table at the buffet dinner that is going to go first through the buffet line, you take the table that is going to go last. That's God's word for you today. Now, This parable operates on several levels. On one level, it operates as just plain common sense. Life goes better for us and everyone else when we stop pushing and shoving our way ahead and act with some humility, some patience, and cooperation. That applies to traffic. It applies in the business world. It applies at church potluck suppers. It applies in families. Stop pushing and shoving and show some patience and some humility and some cooperation. I heard a story of a minister who was going to the hospital to visit one of his parishioners. It was a hot day and he was busy and tired. And when he got to the parking lot at the hospital, the parking lot was full. So he drove around, trying to find a place to park. And finally he spotted a car backing out of a stall. He also noticed there was another car waiting to get into that spot. But as the car pulled out, he was able to dart in ahead of the car that had been waiting to go in. So I went up to the hospital room and he visited his parishioner. And while he was visiting his parishioner, who should come in to visit as well but the person he just cut off in the parking lot? That's not an autobiographical story, by the way. I want to point that out. So sometimes when we push and shove and try to get ahead, we end up embarrassing ourselves and making things go worse for everybody. So at one level, Jesus' advice just makes good, practical, common sense. Show some manners. On another level, this parable is about the church. We are a community gathered about a table, and this morning being Communion Sunday, that's very obvious, but every Sunday we are literally a family gathered about a table. And the manners, however, at this table can be atrocious. Some people at the table can be dominating, monopolizing, intimidating, and controlling. Bill Eason is a church consultant who's written several books on church renewal and has some very good ideas. And he makes an interesting observation in one of his writings. He says that most churches are held captive by bullies. Now, I know here at First Baptist Edmonton, you have no idea what in the world he's talking about when he says that, but that's what he says. He says most churches are held captive by bullies. They make churches painful places, he says, because they dominate and they control and they push and they shove and they cause divisions and they polarize people, and then people get polarized and then people demonize one another and people get hurt and humiliated. In contrast, the church at its best, and as Jesus called it to be, is about being a community where people are healed and honored and respected, about being a place where people show good manners, where each member shows respect, humility, graciousness toward one another. That's not so difficult, is it? Well, yes, it is sometimes to do that. But we can do it. A few years ago, Joan and I were visiting friends of ours, and they were reporting that they had a new young minister in their church, but there were some complaints about this new young minister. He just kind of wasn't doing things the way they kind of thought he should be or expected him to. And so after they talked a little bit about this, one of them, I'd like to lead you to believe it was the husband, but I have to confess it really was the wife, who said this. She said, "Well, you know, we're just going to have to love him more and help him." And I thought, may your tribe increase in the church. Now, that's good manners. I'm not sure how it worked out in the end with this young pastor, whether it worked out in the end or not. But anyway, I certainly respected this woman and her good manners. Because at one level, this parable is about us, the body of Christ, and having good manners at church. At another level, this parable is also about the world community. As North Americans, we have pushed ourselves to the front of the line for just about everything. We control most of the world's food, resources, money, and power. Even our assistance sometimes to other parts of the world is done in such a way that we benefit from it. This came to mind when I read an article in the New York Times 2 weeks ago that reported that CARE, an international aid agency, had just turned down $45 million a year from the United States government. And the reason they turned it down was because they did not like the practice of selling tons of heavily subsidized American farm products in African countries that compete with the crops of struggling local farmers. The way it works is the United States buys goods from American agribusinesses, ships them overseas in American carriers, donates them to aid groups, who then sell the products on the market in poor countries and use the money to finance anti-poverty programs. CARE said they didn't want to participate in that anymore. And one of their spokespeople said, "If someone wants to help you, they shouldn't do it by destroying the very thing they're trying to promote." The world level, we need to show some good manners too. Most North Americans find it difficult, if not impossible, to think of doing with less that others can have more. We convince ourselves that we live in a culture of scarcity. The reality is we live in a culture of abundance. But scarcity is not the problem. There is abundant enough food in the world for everyone. It's the distribution system that's the problem. And if we just had good manners, we could have a better distribution system. Someday, I'm afraid, there is going to be a reckoning. Already we pay a price in terms of the divisions and fears, violence, wars, devastation, and death in the world because of the situation being the way it is. But with humility, self-sacrifice, patience, cooperation, grace, and good manners, we could help to create a world community of justice and peace. Yes, we could. It's just a matter of having good manners. At its most profound level, this parable is a glimpse of the kingdom of God. Status and power may be the basis of what it means to be part of many communities and to get along and to get ahead today. But the only thing that counts in the kingdom is humility. There is a great reversal when it comes to the behavior of the followers of Jesus. You're going to hear a lot about this great reversal in the scripture text from Luke in the next few weeks, because the message of Jesus, as it's recorded in the Gospel of Luke, is often that the kingdom turns on its head the way in which we normally live and the normal values by which we live. And this is just a case in point. The world admires people who scramble and push and shove their way to the top and get ahead, but not in the kingdom. In the kingdom, it's humility that counts. It's not the pushers and shovers, the grasping, the arrogant, and the line jumpers who are first in the kingdom of God. It is the humble, the giving, the loving, the self-sacrificing, the people who have good manners. Jesus says that people who show good manners, who live in humility, will be exalted. It's interesting to note that the verb that Jesus uses is in the passive voice, will be exalted. God is the one who does the exalting, not us. To exalt ourselves is to usurp the place of God. Our role is to be followers of Christ in the way of servanthood and love, in the way of humility, patience, cooperation, love, having good manners. And whatever place we share in the kingdom with Christ is a gift of God's grace. It's not of our achievement and of our self-enhancement. It's surely not lost on the readers of Luke's gospel that as Jesus speaks these words, he is on his way to Jerusalem and to the cross. And the table manners of which he speaks correspond to the journey that he is on. He humbles himself on the cross, and God exalts him in the resurrection. His journey is our journey too. We humble ourselves in love, and God in love raises us to new levels of love and service. So in this place, in your place, in the world's place, just remember to mind your manners. That's all. Just mind your manners. God will do the rest. Let us pray. Our loving God, show us the way of Christ, that in humility, love, and grace, we may serve others before we serve ourselves, and thereby know what it is to be a citizen of your kingdom and to be exalted in your sight. We pray this in Jesus' name as we ask this to be true for us. Amen.